Wow.
Sorry, can you hear me, folks? Can you hear me at home? I think you weren't picking me up there, were you?
Hey, tonight.
Right, so everybody at home can hear me, can they? Yeah.
Yes.
Sorry, I'll just do a quick run through again of what I said, because obviously you weren't picking me up at home. Just want to welcome Donna and Esther here tonight from EA, and obviously tonight's meeting followed the letter that was sent out following the notice of motion in relation to the funding cuts for Education Authority. So the idea was to have a special council meeting to discuss this. So we've been through the other formalities, so it's just a case really of welcoming Esther Miller, Deputy Head of Local Youth Services, and Donna Weir, Senior Youth Officer, to tonight's meeting. And you're going to do a presentation for us, ladies, is that correct? And who's taking the lead on that? Esther, is it yourself?
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I'm going to start and then Donna will share it, okay?
Okay, no problem. You far away.
Okay, I'm going to share my screen, so bear with me. Hopefully this might work.
Please.
Can people see that okay?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, good. So look, Chair, thank you very much. Thank you, members, for inviting Donna and myself along tonight to talk to you a little bit around the Education Authority Youth Service Funding Scheme. As you mentioned, I'm Deputy Head of Local Youth Services, so I would be responsible for all local youth services across Northern Ireland. Donna, in her role, she's the Senior Youth Officer responsible for Newry, Mourne and Down, and she probably is the person that you most know and would be most familiar with her role in terms of area planning and developing funding opportunities for the area. So really what we thought we would do would just give a bit of detail around where we're at as a service and the funding that has been allocated or being offered out in the area, and then give you the opportunity obviously to ask us any questions or clarification. But I thought it might be useful to start off, bear with me, can people see the slide change? Yeah, no, yes. It's hard yes, to see you. Everybody.
We can see it.
Great, thank you. So I thought it would be useful just to give a little bit of a background, first of all, just to set the scene. Apologies if this is something that you already know, but I felt it was important to share that the new funding scheme for youth services was launched in 2020 in line with the priorities for youth policy. So prior to that, we were operating under the old Education and Library Boards. So the new Youth Service Policy outlined that a new funding scheme needed to be developed and implemented in line with the Review of Public Administration and the Boards becoming one education authority. And it was to address the inequalities, because across the service, if you were maybe a BB group in Lisburn, you mightn't have been funded, but if you were a BB group, say, in Derry, then you might have got funding. So there's a lot of disparity across the service. So So it was decided that one funding mechanism would be introduced, and the new funding scheme was launched really in 2020, with funding starting from 2021. And the other thing that was really key for the new funding scheme was that it had to be based on a local assessment of need. So prior to that, a lot of groups were funded through historical arrangements. But moving forward into the new scheme, it was really important that there was some sort of a process to identify the needs of young people within a geographical area and then prioritise funding to meet that need. So back in 2020-21, there was funding opportunities released for the Newry Morning Down area. So there were seven funding opportunities released, seven area-based funding opportunities released at that time. And at that point, groups were actually quite critical of the funding, because one of the things that they identified was that there were too many targets. They felt that within the funding opportunity, we had a lot of targets, like, for example, and it was linked to the local assessment of need, but we would have had targets such as deliver 10 health and wellbeing programmes, maybe 2 mental health programmes, et cetera, et cetera. And the voluntary sector were saying that this is too prescriptive, too specific, too targeted. So as a result, subsequent funding opportunities were released that had less targets or less outputs in them. Now, within the Newry Morning Down area, there weren't any additional funding opportunities put out at that point, but in other areas there were, and therefore there were less targets. And having less targets equated to less funding, because groups were not being asked to deliver the same level as what they had with the first round. So my next slide gives you sort of an overview. You can see on the map across Newry Morning Down area what that looked like. So you can see that there was funding for a group in Cross MacLean. There was funding for 2 groups in Newry, 1 group in Mayo Bridge, Kilkeel, Newcastle and Downpatrick. And it was based on the local assessment of need. Now, on top of that, there were 70 GNT groups that were funded across the area. So there are generic non-targeted that are volunteer-led groups. So they would be the likes of some of the uniform groups or community-led youth club type programmes. Fast forward then to where we are currently. So Donna, along with the other senior youth officers last year, had to carry out another local assessment of need in preparation for releasing funding opportunities for the next 3 years. So Donna, she created a local assessment of need and a local youth development plan, and they are available online. They're on the EA funding website, and anyone can go and have a look at those at any time. I thought it was also useful just to share in terms of the timeline for things. So this is just to give you an overview of the process for the funding. So it started really around November time last year, where there were pre-application workshops. So groups could go along and find out and get support for applying for funding opportunities. The closing date was the 23rd of December. And then there was a process of panels and assessment, and we're at the stage now that's circled in red, and that's the conditional offer or funding debrief stage, where groups have been notified those that have been successful or unsuccessful, and we're working now with them to the next stage of the process. I think it is important, however, to outline that where we were there in 2022 was very different to where we were in 2020. You know, as the letter to council outlines, the Education Authority is facing significant budgetary challenges in the current financial year. And that's expected that will intensify as we move into 23-24 year. Now, one of the things, the youth service has not reduced funding for our groups in this year, that they've taken a decision that the funding is honoured for those groups and funding will not be reduced in this year. But in the absence, obviously, of an executive and executive ministers, we don't have a budget confirmed yet for 23-24. And we needed to plan, even though we didn't have a budget, and we needed to make sure that young people were supported, because given the current situation on children and young people and families at the minute, with the cost of living, those living in socially deprived and rural areas, we wanted to make sure that there was an increased opportunity for core generic youth services for an increased number of young people across Uri, Mourne and Down. And that has resulted in an increased number of funding awards that have actually been released for Newry, Mourne and Down. We wanted to make sure that young people, as far as possible, have access to warm, safe and nurturing youth service spaces as far as possible. Now, as a result, the increase in the number of funding awards means that the amount available for some funding opportunities may be less than in previous years. And where that is the case, there is a reduction in outcomes. There's a reduction in required outcomes. So we're not asking groups to deliver the same. And as a result, this has meant that there is, you know, there's a more equitable spread of funding opportunities across the DEAs, that more DEAs are receiving funding. And Donna's going to take you through the phase one and phase two of that process, which will detail what areas the funding opportunities have been released for and that are available. Thank you.
Thanks, Esther. So, yes, so picking up from all the information that Esther has just given you, I released 8 funding opportunities during phase one. And that was based on my assessment of need, but also feedback from colleagues, both within the council and across the district. And also another 6 funding opportunities during phase two. You'll note that it says in the slide that the funding is for a 3-year period. However, due to the lack of certainty around budgets, the director has only agreed to release it on an annual basis. So we just have to take it year by year. The funding awards were developed based, as Esther said, on the local assessment of need, which I carried out last year. And it really took over, it took the guts of the whole year to do that in terms of meeting with groups and meeting with LAG members and other key stakeholders. It also involved a significant amount of desktop research on statistics and current research right across the sector from PSNI and the Health Trust, as well as council. We consulted with young people directly. We held focus groups and we held stakeholder engagement events. And we also engaged with young people and the LAG on 4 occasions between June and December. Through that time, I also held meetings with your colleagues and your MLAs, and 3 parties took me up on those invitations to discuss the local assessment of need and the local youth development plan. So the funding opportunities are for delivery of evening provision over 48 weeks in the year, which will include over the summertime. And this will enable units to employ 3 staff as well as their full-time youth worker, 3 part-time staff as well as their full-time youth worker, along with their volunteers over the amount of time, the hours that they're open. Summer scheme funding for daytime delivery hasn't been included at this stage, and we fully expect that it probably will become available later on. Most summer funding usually gets released in quarter one and enable groups to plan for that. Of course, there's other funding opportunities that, you know, voluntary and statutory youth workers all avail of, including planned intervention that comes from the executive office, Council also fund small programs, TBOC through the executive office as well, small grants and PCSP funding. So there's lots of opportunities that all neighbourhood renewal is another one because I chair those funding applications as well. So you can see then we'll move on to the next slide, Esther. Phase two funding opportunities involved five local area based opportunities along with one project based opportunity. So these were released in January and generic non-targeted is also due to be released in April, as Esther had mentioned. So all those 70 groups, and there may be more by the time we get to April, can apply for running cost funding. That is a significant amount of money right across the district in very rural areas. So these awards were based on the assessed need and an attempt to tackle rural deprivation and target provision for young people with SEN issues and support vulnerable children and young people. So these are areas that may have previously accessed additional funding, and this is just to an attempt really to bring youth work back into rural communities. So we'll go on to the next one. So this map now shows a more accurate picture of the funding offers that have been released across Newry Morne and Down. And for those of you that sit on the PCSP, you may have heard me mention some of this actually at the last PCSP meeting. But they align with the DEA boundaries, but it's hoped that 14 voluntary groups right across Newry Morne and Down will receive funding to deliver core youth service, as opposed to 7 in the last funding cycle. In monetary terms, as you can see, it's an increase of approximately £60,000 and an increase of 12 sessions per week for young people. And that's definitely something to be celebrated. I think I'm probably one of the more fortunate area officers in that, you know, we got such a significant increase in funding offers at this stage. So the next slide will give you an indication then of the current status. So as I said, phase one had 8 offers, and there were 8 groups that applied for that, 6 of which were successful and 2 were unsuccessful. In phase two, we had 6 offers released, 4 applications were made and 3 were successful. And there was 1 unsuccessful bid. So the funding and assurance officer for my area has been engaging with the groups that have been unsuccessful and provided them feedback. And I think there are plans in place to support those groups to be able to, revisit their applications. My hope is that the next steps, the meetings that will be held with the funding and assurance officer will offer some solace to those groups that, you know, we're still working on how we go forward. And hopefully, you know, the phase three will offer some indication to those groups that, you know, we can maybe be in a position to support a revised application. Of course, there's always more opportunities for funding. As Esther said before, because we're in a situation that the budgets haven't been confirmed, when they are confirmed, we may be in a position that we can actually release additional funding offers. And that, you know, that happen probably would happen. If it happens, we'll have to respond to that in a very dynamic way. What we would like to ask, though, is for yourselves, if you know of groups who have been unsuccessful or who didn't apply for funding awards in your areas, please encourage them to come to us and seek support, because we'd be very keen. We wouldn't have released the funding in those areas if we didn't think there was capacity. So, you know, we're very keen to make sure that those groups do get the support they need to submit a successful application, because we have to work together, and we'd be very keen. We've got regional voluntary youth organisations that can support us as well as our funding officer to get groups across the line. So I think that's us, really. Thank you very much for your attention, and we'll answer any questions you have.
Okay, thank you very much for that, Donna and Esther. Thank you very much. I have Councillor Devlin, are you looking to come in with a question?
Sorry, Chair, no, that was earlier on. Maybe you're wondering if you could hear us online. I'm okay at the minute. Thank you. Thanks for the presentation, folks.
No problem. Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I have a number of comments for both speakers and a number of questions. I suppose first and foremost, outline the process that had kicked off from last November. I work very closely with one of those clubs that are funded in the Cross Midland area. And I can say, working with the committee and the staff and the club and engaging with the education authority, that the process was beyond diabolical. I want to put on record that the process and the stress put on those people working in the youth club was not in short of a disgrace. And for myself to engage following the letter from Una Torbett in December to try and quell the anger and say that there was going to be an extension, we were met with a wall of silence, and it took weeks to get any reply from anybody in the education authority during that process when the applications were open. So there was zero support for people who were utterly confused about what was happening. And I also want to make it clear that the gaslighting that has taken place over the last couple of weeks is utterly shameful. I am sick and tired of hearing that there are no cuts being imposed. I am sick and tired of hearing that there are no budgets agreed. We're getting confusing lines out of both the arm's length body in the Education Authority and the department, where on one side we're hearing from the department that youth budgets are ring-fenced, and yet we're hearing from the Education Authority that there is no budget confirmed. And the letter that took 3 weeks to get back from writing to Una Torbett on the 1st of February, that eventually got correspondence back on the 21st of February, was more gaslighting about there being no cuts. The club in Cross Midland, I'm not going to go into specifics because most clubs are the same generally, were facing a £33,000 cut. And that's on top of pressures of increased overheads that we had from the previous year. We had to try and put in an application for the £96,000, just shy of £97,000. And how difficult that was in the period that we had changed and our leader in charge, and I know Donna knows the situation in Cross Midland, to have no support was very, very difficult for that committee. Or one of the unsuccessful bids. So not only have we been looking at a cut of 32,000 and how we could try and deliver the youth services with that money removed, we've zero now, an unsuccessful bid. And the feedback that we've had from one of your colleagues, and I know we're in that stage now, has been even more confusing. There is nobody on the committee that understands what is happening here. And I'm very confused about where the voluntary and community organisations, the sector, sits alongside the statutory sector. I would like a breakdown of the figures from the funding and the money allocated to the statutory sector compared to the voluntary sector, because I think that is absolutely key. We have, going through some of the documents on the website, there is a clear direction that it says the youth services, where the voluntary and community sector will be fully supported, where they are in place, and that doesn't seem to be the case. We're seeing things stripped back more and more. The core work is key, is absolutely key, and it has been reduced. And we can say there's 48 more sessions or whatever way we want to paint it up. We're reducing sessions from 4 hours, is what our proposals were, down to 3 hours, because there isn't the funding to pay the staff for it. We're reducing our staff bill from over 110,000 down to 70,000 to try and stay competitive. So we're reducing the amount of sessions that we can do and the length of the sessions and the staff that's in those sessions, which caps the number of kids that can come into the club. So when we talk about, you know, having increased funding for rural areas and areas of deprivation, I don't understand what you mean by that, because Cross Midlen has been cut. Cut in terms of what we get to play for and unsuccessful in what we did play for. No more work within the schools, no more street-based work, no more outreach work, all core work. And this new funding stream that came in the second round of funding was based around thematic funding. Where was the decision? And I understand from the assessment of need that, you know, stakeholders agreed to go the direction of thematic funding at the cost of cutting core provision. Core provision is absolutely key for young people to build up relationships with youth workers in the area. I don't understand where the youth, the schoolwork is being replaced and it's not been done by the young people that's in the area that people actually have relationships with. So, you know, is it moving everything over to the statutory side, EA staff delivering all programmes and then cutting the voluntary sector? So I really would like some clarity on those figures. On the second round of funding, we had an email back in November saying that we'd be able to apply for additional funding. The holding letter that came out from Una Torbett on the 19th of December saying that there would be additional funding coming on the 16th of January before the applications close on the 18th. None of the additional funding we were able to apply for. So South Armagh, Cross Midlen area, and we can talk about your deprivation stats because we're at the highest in some of those deprivation measures, namely income, rural isolation, some of the issues that we have to deal with. We weren't eligible for any of those extra strands of funding. So where is the equality there? When you talk about even the algorithm or how you work out, you score your application, you're saying it'll be value for money. So you've got certain applications that will be best value for money, and we'll all be benchmarked off that. How is that possible when we can only apply for the first round of funding and no subsequent rounds after that? Other people can apply for 30k, 50k, and they can put that in the second round of funding. They can actually pay staff, overhead, and program costs from that. So when we get scored on the very first round against those clubs then go on and get more money for their staff, more money for their overheads. But yet we have to stretch it within the application that we made. The whole thing is utterly confusing, and I think it needs drastic change. I don't think it's good enough that we got feedback from your colleagues that we feed into the review process. We're reviewing it, so we might see if there's changes can be made for future funding rounds, and best of luck in the future funding rounds. No clarity. And just one final thing. Donna, you stated that there are plans put in place to support those unsuccessful applications. There's no plans put in place at the minute. We have no clarity on that whatsoever. We had a broad discussion. We were told that it went through three parts of the process. We have no idea how that process was carried out. We don't understand how you can carry out a competitive process like that when it's the funding body themselves that's doing it and the statutory agencies are being funded as well. The whole thing is just confusing. So we've been told that we'll try and get a solution to open the applications again so we can put in for a new fresh application. We don't know what the level of funding is. And at the minute, that youth club in Cross Midlen, that service that you know is needed, is closing its doors at the end of March. We have no funding. So I would like a wee bit of clarity, and I would like the gaslighting to stop about the cuts, because when you're talking about the funds that's available to a club that can apply for, we can apply for 130,000, we can only now apply for 96,000, we've got zero. We can't apply for any additional funding. That's cuts to our club. So I'd like to get clarity on the figures and some of those questions answered, please.
Okay, well, I'll start and then Esther, you can jump in. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Well, I'm really sorry that, I can feel and hear the frustration, Peter, and I'm very sorry that has come to pass. In terms of the allocation, there's so many issues there. I'll try and get some of them. I can easily share that information with you in terms of the allocation between voluntary and statutory, because we had to provide that to our director earlier on in the year. And that will show you that the voluntary sector does get a significant proportion more. In terms of school work, it was agreed that school work would be delivered by statutory staff only. I can see now it can be done by voluntary partners, but it wouldn't come in under the terms of agreement of the SLA that we would be agreeing. So they can still go into schools, but it's not necessarily part of our remit. The process that probably the next steps that we need to really work through, this is a very dynamic process, Peter, and what we have been asked to do internally is to look at the unsuccessful applications and the groups that did not make an application and put forward a proposal regarding whether we believe there's capacity there and whether we believe that groups are able to make the changes and submit a successful bid, or whether they're not, there's no capacity in the area. So that's still the stage we're at this stage. I apologise that it took 3 weeks for you to get a letter back in terms of the initial one. I don't know why that happened, because I believe there's a deadline in that, so that shouldn't have actually happened. Esther, do you want to come in?
Thanks, Donna. Councillor Byrne, I also just want to reiterate what Donna has said. And I'm very sorry also to hear the frustration and the difficulties that the group has had. I know that our director has sought feedback from the field and did open a consultation. So has reached out, I suppose, to our groups to get feedback on the key issues. I suppose, as I outlined in the presentation, I hear what you're saying about, you hear that there's no cuts, but there are cuts. I suppose if you're looking at the funding overall, the funding going into the area is more than what it was previously, but we're trying to reach as many young people as possible. So that's why the focus at this point has been around the core youth service, keeping centres open and having safe spaces for young people and heating and lighting and all of that. So as outlined in the presentation, yes, there were only 7 funding awards issued last year. There's an increase, 2 years ago, there's an increase then in this year. But obviously then that has an impact on groups that are already there. Look, all I can say is that, you know, we would be happy to sit down and meet with the group and see what support we could provide. And we're certainly happy to take the feedback from tonight to the funding officers and also feedback the frustrations in relation to the group. I'm just having a look, is there anything else?
Did I just pop in there, please? Yeah. I was just thinking, the case that you're describing is particularly, difficult given the changeover in staff that club have experienced, and the chairperson has been communicating with me over the last number of months over that issue, and I have offered her support in relation to that over and above what I was supposed to do in terms of actually deploying one of my staff to support the staff there in terms of support and supervision. However, I would definitely encourage all youth workers and all chairpersons to seek, the support of the regional voluntary youth organisations that they are aligned to, because we offer funding to these groups to give support to the voluntary sector. And if that hasn't happened, we would need to hear about that, because that's something that we would want to make sure is strengthened. And I had held a LAG meeting this week and had offered to host it in the unit that you're talking about, which would give the young people and the staff an opportunity to express their concerns directly, and I'd be still keen to do that, Pete, so that we can get a resolution to the issue. But yes, I would reiterate Esther's point in that possibly that, your group needs a dedicated crisis meeting set up.
Okay, Pete, do you want to come back on that?
Yeah, I just want to come back on a couple of points. I suppose it's the frustration. You can hear my voice and the anger. I have never witnessed a process that was as appalling with our club in this application as the one we went through at Christmas. The stress that you're putting on people in the voluntary youth sector is unacceptable. It's enormous. And the confusion around the application with the cuts to 96,000 before Christmas had everybody... I've met with the committee 4 or 5 times a week, every week, since before Christmas. And it's all trying to work out the budgets, the staff. You have people on protective notice. I think everybody across the north is on protective notice. Don't know what provision we're going to have come April. And obviously, with a changeover in youth leader in charge, of which you know the circumstances, we were scored down in other areas. We had absolutely a 100% focus into our budgetary lanes because we simply could not make them work. We really couldn't make them work in terms of what where overheads are all are sitting. When you're talking about funding in the area, Esther, is not cut. You know, there's more funding into the area. And I got that letter back from I think it was Michael Hogg on behalf of Inaturbit, who didn't even reply to my email. My area has no funding coming into it at the minute. And if we were successful, my area was cut. And there is a feeling out there that among the voluntary community sector, that the Education Authority are protecting their own staff, their own the statutory agencies, and war being cut. And if you look through even any of the documents from the department, you're meant to be supporting the voluntary community sector where there is provision, and then stepping in and filling gaps with the statutory sector where there isn't provision, but you're stepping in and taking away the work. You're saying you're going to go in and do the school work, but yet it's the people in the town, the community themselves, that should be engaging with the young people. And then we're cutting our core services. So, I mean, it goes against policies from the department that we're reading, and that's where the confusion is here. Do we need a crisis meeting? Yes. Was there a lag meeting turned down? Absolutely. Because I think if that lag meeting had happened across and Karina had turned it down, there was so much anger, it really wasn't the time to do it. You know, so we wanted to get through this first as a committee, and then we will engage going forward. And I think that whole structure, the lag and the rag, has to change. You know, there has to be more accountability and decisions made by local people on the ground. I don't know where we go from here, because as I said to you, from that outcome of the application, there is no funding going into the Cross Midland area, and our club is closing at the end of the month. I would ask, we're having a public meeting on Wednesday, I think it's Wednesday the 8th of March, and I would ask if you're able to attend, Donna, that you could come down to Cross and speak to the young people there. But we need a solution to this, and we need a solution urgently. I did say finally to your colleague when we were getting our feedback from the application that how can we be met with a wall of silence for 6 weeks during a very, very difficult process. When we asked for help, we directly went to Inaturbit and asked for help before we put in our application. And we got nothing back until it closed. And yet that application was assessed and they come back to us saying where we had deficiencies when we had asked for the help. You know, it's not as if we didn't reach out and say, listen, we need a wee bit of help here. It was ignored by ourselves. And then it come back to say we were unsuccessful. And I've spoke to other clubs who in that delivery plan area of it had nearly similar to what we put in, and they were successful. So I just don't understand the whole process. But we need an urgent meeting with yourselves. And just before I finish up, I drove from Cross Midland to come to the chamber here because I expected to meet with yourselves face to face. And I'm really, really just disappointed that we're doing this across Zoom. And I would ask for an urgent meeting as soon as possible that I could sit face to face with yourselves and have a discussion on some of the more detail that I have here. But we're in crisis mode in Cross Midland, and it's really, really not acceptable.
Okay, Councillor Byrne, thank you very much. I understand your frustration. So, Esther, I'm going to bring in Councillor Finnegan, and then maybe you can come back, Esther and Donna, on the points Pete have raised, plus whatever Councillor Finnegan comes in with. Aoife?
Thanks a million. Look, I don't want to rehash everything Pete has said, and it is a very frustrating situation, particularly for the St Oliver Plunkett Youth Club in Cross Midland. Look, we're all too aware that with Cross MacLean, obviously given their community here is rural and isolated from the services in Newry, excuse me, it only adds to the importance of maintaining the youth club in the service. Myself and Conor Murphy, my colleague, met with the team in St. Oliver Plunkett's a number of weeks back, just to hear about the challenges that they were facing with these cuts, and what we asked them to outline, you know, what the key asks are to help them through the issues, and they have done that with us, and we're happy to share that in whatever meeting you're going to have. We would be really happy to be a part of that and get those discussions opened. But yeah, a huge, like, my own child is away to the youth club there this evening, and the rest of my children will go during the week, and it's massively important that some solution is brought to Cross MacLean, because this area, as I say, as Pete has already outlined, that it is essential. It's an isolated area. It's an area of deprivation, and there is children so relying on the youth leaders down there. That youth club is as good as their family. I think Pete would agree with me there. You know, they get fed. They have their pizzas, they have their crack, and they meet their friends. And I just think it's so frustrating to think that, I suppose, whenever they are crying out and asking for the help, that, you know, I suppose they've been met with a blank wall. And I hope that some resolution can come from having a meeting. But we will continue to lobby and to work hard for it, as I'm sure everybody else will. Thank you.
Okay. I'll think there's anybody else there. Okay. Sorry, Valerie, you have a comment, have you?
Yeah, just a quick comment, please, Michael.
Yes,
I agree totally with everything with Pete and Aoife there. I live in Newry, and quite a lot, most of the youth clubs and all in and around Newry are always full to capacity. One in particular now at the minute is the Bosco Youth Centre, which deals at about a hard time of the year around July and August. They do a lot of diversionary work, taking young people off the streets in particularly hard days in those months. And like they're now saying that most of their summer activities and all, etc., will obviously stop in the summer in and around Newry. Most of these youth centres operate in what would be called socially deprived areas. These are lifelines to families in the summertime, especially with children off school, parents who, through no fault of their own, are on benefits or whatever. And this is their lifeline to get their children out during the summer. So I think it seriously needs looked at.
Thanks, Valerie. And I can again reiterate from a Newry perspective, as a Newry councillor that represents those areas that you've outlined as well, without those diversionary programmes, we have seen great work done over the summer with those youth groups. We have seen diversionary programmes really been transformational, where we would have had maybe problems, antisocial behaviour, issues around bonfires and everything else that has been totally addressed because the youth workers on the ground and the youth clubs are making a real difference. So, you know, I see the Education Authority as an organisation that has to invest in the future of our young people. You know, we've come out of COVID, we've come out of a time of social isolation where, you know, young people really need interaction and engagement with each other, need those diversionary programmes, need that distraction and that comradeship and friendship and social engagement. And, you know, for the likes of Cross MacLean to be left in that sort of position, and the others in Newry to be struggling to have to, you know, come up with the programmes that are so transformational in our areas of particularly of deprivation within our city, that they make a real tangible difference. You know, we really need to assess this. And I think the first stop here tonight has to be obviously deal with the urgent crisis issue in Cross MacLean, but also to look at the wider scope for the youth clubs and youth organisations across our district that I think are vital to the future and well-being of our young people. So, Esther, if you want to come back in there, I don't see anybody else looking to come in. If you and Donna want to sum up on where you want to take things from here, and then we can follow through after the meeting then. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I wanted to come back on a couple of points, you know, because I think it's really important to reiterate that there is support for groups out there. EA is funding regional groups to support our local groups in terms of capacity building and supporting those groups to apply for funding. So I would encourage all the groups to reach out to, because they choose their regional organisation. They select who they want to support them, and just encourage them to reach out, because EA is funding those groups to support our local voluntary groups on the ground. That's what they're meant to be doing. I want to come back also in relation to the summer. Look, Donna mentioned about summer funding. We very often don't know what monies are available in summer, but there is plenty of money out there for summer in terms of the planned intervention and funding like that. That's to do exactly, Chair, what you mentioned there, and what Councillor Hart mentioned, you know, around getting young people off the streets at key times, you know, working with communities during the summer months. That money is still there, and we would be encouraging groups to access that money, whether it's through, as I say, planned intervention, TBUC funding, etc. The funding that is in the current awards is to allow groups to continue opening in the evenings. So that will allow them to open at times when youth club is particularly needed. The other funding then would be to enhance that for the likes of daytime work or residentials, etc. And again, I just want to reiterate what Donna had said, and we're very sorry that groups are feeling very frustrated and disappointed with the way things are at the minute. We hope that we will be able to work with groups and pave a way forward. And we are happy to meet with particular groups to discuss their own issues. We're happy to sit down and do that. Councillor Byrne, the reason we weren't there tonight, because I thought it was optional. I thought it was groups could either be here in person or on Teams. If I had felt that we were required to be in the chamber for the meeting, there would have been no issue on us being there. So apologies if we have not read the email appropriately, or we thought it was an optional thing to be either in the chamber or on Teams. And also just in terms of Councillor Finnegan talking around also what was going on in Cross MacLean, we are very mindful that it is an area of deprivation, and we will try and work with groups as best we can. Donna has said, look, we're in the position where we're currently looking at those groups that haven't been successful and agreeing a way forward, and whether those funding opportunities are re-released and groups are supported to apply. But we are happy to meet specifically if you feel that is useful with the Cross MacLean group and see what support can be offered there. Really, on behalf of Donna and myself, can I just say, Chair, thank you very much. Sorry, Chair.
Yeah, just before we wind up, can I ask another question, a direct question?
Yes, certainly.
I've asked three or four direct questions there that I still haven't got answers, and I do want to just state them and get a yes or no answer.
Go ahead.
Yeah, of course. Donna, you stated that there are plans in place to support those groups. Now, there's anticipated plans in place. They're not in place. Can either of you confirm that the application process will reopen for those two unsuccessful bids? And if so, will it reopen in March, as we've been told might happen, or will it be May? What do the clubs do in the process between? And if it is reopening, will it be for the full amount of 96,823? For the other funding streams that were came out in funding round two, none of them were available for South Armagh. I've asked that question, why? Is there a feeling that no additional or thematic work needs to be done in this area? And if so, where has that come from? What evidence base has been used for that? And thirdly, the other question that I want a direct answer to is, will the services that have been removed that were being delivered by St Albert Youth Club in a voluntary capacity, in terms of the school work, the outreach work, street-based work, will that be replaced? Will that be carried out by yourselves, statutory agencies, or is that for services that are removed from the Cross Midland area? That's three key questions. And yes, we do want a meeting, but we want a meeting where we can get a resolution to this, because it's not acceptable to close the doors in a couple of weeks' time.
Okay, Pete. Can somebody come back on those questions? Or?
Yes, thank you, Chair. Do you want me to go first, Dawn, or you want to go first?
I'll go first, and sure, you can chip in then. Well, as I said already, Councillor Byrne, we did, you know, we are in the middle of this process right now. It's very dynamic. I've been asked to respond in relation to the scheme, and it would be my hope that it would be reopened at the same level for groups to apply, those unsuccessful. That's my expectation, Councillor. I wouldn't imagine it would be reduced. How quickly we can turn that around is another thing. So I still still have to respond to the head of service with that information. In regarding round two, the letter that was issued by the director indicated that more targeted and additional programmes would be released to the sector. She was talking on a Northern Ireland wide basis. She wasn't talking about any one particular area. In some areas, there wasn't anything released in round two. In my area, I released more funding offers because I saw gaps in rural areas. And the only thematic project was actually for street-based work in Downpatrick. And I believe there was a need for that, especially in the estates. All other funding offers that I released were local area-based. There was no thematic based work. It was all local area based that I re-released. I apologise.
None for my area. Sorry to cut across, but there was none released for my area.
No. And not every area got.
But when you said that you've identified, you know, gaps in rural areas, there were no services identified that were needed in the Cross Midland area. A rurally isolated area, high measures of deprivation, and we felt that there was no further funding that was needed. Even though we were going to get a £33,000 cut, we've effectively got a full cut now. We've no money now.
No, well, Councillor, I did not anticipate that any one unit would not be successful. I had full confidence that every funding offer was going to be applied for and successfully awarded. So at that stage, I did not realise that there was going to be a difficulty. All the areas were just being offered core funding. They weren't offered anything targeted. The only targeted piece of work that came out in round two for my area was street-based work in Downpatrick.
Right.
I'm just conscious
as to what sort of detailed information, you know, we should be discussing in the open forum here. But, you know, I'm conscious of the fact that it appears there is a need for a crisis meeting to discuss these matters in detail. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of questions Pete wanted answers to. I think we've got some of them, but I think there's a body of work from what I can see that a crisis meeting would address, because I think there's a difference of opinion in relation to what the need was in the ground and what was actually delivered or not delivered, as the case may be. So is that a fair enough assessment, Pete?
It's frustrating because we've met the Education Authority last week. We're trying to engage and it's bloody difficult. So tonight was really, really important to get answers. And I just feel like we go off this meeting with no direction. I have no ideas at reopening. I've no idea what to tell staff when we go back here, whether they're out of a job or not. And when you say there'll be further funds coming, we won't have a centre, we won't have staff. It'll be closed. So I don't know the timelines that you're talking about that don't marry with us. So I would just like some clear direction. Because
is it feasible that an urgent crisis meeting could be had to iron out these issues? I think the biggest concern that we're seeing here is, yes, it'd be great if this was opened up again, and yes, it'd be great if there was additional monies coming. But I think the biggest threat at the moment is the short-term interim period, whereby, you know, there's a real threat to the service being closed and the club being closed in Cross Midland, which is to a lot of young people a lifeline. So I think, to be fair, you know, there are questions that need to be answered and answered urgently, because there are, you know, there's a voluntary committee there that do sterling work And I think Pete and Councillor Finnegan have both echoed those sentiments that, of the frustration that they feel in not getting the necessary funding to continue, because that's effectively where we are at the moment. So I think what the action we really want out of the meeting tonight is, when can a crisis meeting with a solution-based crisis meeting be held, whereby, you know, there's proposals come to the table whereby the Education Authority are able to say, look, we understand that there's a threat to these services. We appreciate the role that these services play in protecting and looking after our young people in rural isolated areas such as Cross Maglen with areas of high deprivation. And, you know, I think there's a need for EA to come to the table with potential time-based solutions on this. And I think that that's a matter of urgency. And it cannot be facilitated.
Sorry, Chair. I mean, as Donna has explained, we are in the process at the minute of looking at those unsuccessful applications. It's not only the one that we're talking about tonight. There are a number of groups that have been unsuccessful. So the funding and assurance officers are working to meet with those groups. We are happy to meet with the management committee of the unit to talk through the issues and concerns with the likes of our funding and assurance officers, but I don't have a time frame at this point as to when we will know specifically. We will have to take that back and come back to you in relation to a decision and a time frame.
Okay. Pete, was there any other questions you were looking answers to? What was the other question? Sorry, Donna, were you, sorry, I cut across you there. Apologies. Were there other responses you were going to provide there in relation to Councillor Burns' questions?
In relation to the outreach work and school-based work, Councillor, no voluntary sector partners are expected to do school-based work. We're asking them to deliver evening work. The funding offers were for 2 or 4 evenings plus 2. Now, it was up to them whether the groups wanted to deliver daytime provision, which could be in schools. If they want to do 6 nights, they can do 6 nights. If they want to deliver in schools, they could, but not that would not be, if that was over and above their 6 sessions, then that's absolutely up to them and the management committee. So at the minute, we're not working on outreach. No centres are being funded to do outreach work. They're being funded to do core delivery and provide safe spaces for young people. So, you know, and this has come from the assessment of need, where young people have also just asked for safe spaces. So we're working to try and make sure that we have the basic provision in every area. And I could not have foreseen that the unit that you're, you know, closely connected to would not have got over the line. And that is a matter of, you know, severe urgency, and we would work to try and get that. Now, in terms of the timeline that Esther was talking about, are you talking about the timeline for a crisis meeting or for the timeline for the potential new release of funding?
I think the timelines we're talking about is to get that crisis meeting, first of all, get a full deep assessment of the challenges and the shortcomings financially, that they can be addressed with solutions potentially tabled at that meeting, and then followed by that closely, the timelines for future funding and ongoing funding. But the bottom line is, no matter where we look at it, my understanding is correct, Councillor Byrne, this organisation is going to run out of funding almost immediately.
The club has to close at the end of March. Right. It has to close.
We have a window of about 4.5-5 weeks to try and maintain these services. So what could I ask that Donna and Esther, you come back to Councillor Byrne and the youth club in relation to a time and a date for a crisis meeting and progress the issues that have been outlined tonight. Is that a fair ask at this stage?
Absolutely, that's fine.
There's no problem. And I would also come back and say, look, Councillor Byrne, please encourage the management committee to go and seek support from their regional support group, because that is key, that they get that support through them also. That's what they're being funded to do. Yep.
That is happening. We are getting that support. But we just need the process. If it's not open again, there's nothing we can do.
Yes.
We'll
come back to you in relation, obviously, that in terms of time frames and stuff and the decision as to the way forward. But In terms of just the support for that group, then it really is important through the regional body. It's a very stressful time for them.
Okay, well, look, I think it was very important that, Councillor Byrne and others had the opportunity tonight to raise these very genuine concerns and fears for what is a very valued service, particularly in Cross Maglen. So if we could, if you get back to Councillor Byrne and the Management Committee of the Youth Club as soon as possible with a date and time for a solution-based crisis meeting, and then obviously engage further in relation to what additional advice and guidance can be done in relation to interim funding. Is that okay? All right, I don't see anybody else looking to comment here. So all thanks to Donna and to Esther for being here tonight. And I know it's been a fairly significant ask, but it's a very important one in relation to Cross Maglen and Oliver Plunkett Youth Club. And thank you very much. Okay. Thank you. Members. Thank you. Cheers.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
See you at home. Bye.